How about we just pray, church? Lord God, we just ask that you open your word to us that we may hear it afresh and anew. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be upon us and that we may come to know your will for our lives. But Lord, come upon us that we may praise you in every season. Come upon us that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ to all the world. Come upon us today that you may challenge our preconceived thoughts about your goodness and your will for our lives. Our Lord, we ask this in your holy name. Amen. So, church, we are going to delve into Psalms. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at Psalms and focusing on the book of Psalms and looking at how Psalms are there for every season of our life. But before I do that, well, I want to share something with you. Now, I've been preaching for over a quarter of a century. Now, when I phrase it like that, it sounds so much more impressive and so much longer and than what it really is. And I don't want to kind of big note myself about all of this. But what I want to do is over that period of time, I really haven't done any in-depth preaching around Psalms. Psalms I've kind of delved into and used it as references back or illustration points when I've been talking, you know, preaching around a gospel or an apostolic letter or a bit of the Old Testament, but not really just delving into the Psalms. Not because I don't think Psalms is any good. And it's not because I don't think Psalms is not helpful for our faith journey, but rather part of my preaching has been a deliberate focus upon the good news, sharing the good news about Jesus Christ, about his saving grace found in the New Testament. And if anybody asks me what I would like to preach on, I will almost always go to a gospel because that tells the story of Jesus. Yet we have these amazing pieces of scripture found in the Psalms of depth of people's souls coming back up. So today I'm going to do something new for me. Maybe not new for others, but I'm going to do something new for me. And I'm not just going to make a passing reference to the Psalms, but rather we're going to delve and take a focus on the Psalms. So I'm going to dive into Psalm 34, which encourages us to what? To taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who will take refuge in him. To taste and see that the Lord is good. This is, you know, this is what it means for us to dive into the Psalms, is to actually taste and see that God is good. And when we dive into our Psalms, we need to take a moment to remember that, you know, that it's an entire collection of poetry. There's 150 of them in this book of Psalms. But you might think, oh, hang on, it's just a random collection of poetry that has been written. Let me tell you, there is actually a structure and a theme. There's a theological structure and theme to the book of Psalms. It's actually not to be meant to be delved into going, oh, I'm going to go to this one or I'm going to go to this one. And, you know, how many people have heard Psalm 23? Lots. How many people have been to a funeral with Psalm 23? We kind of delve into it so many times and we just go into that or we'll jump into another one or whatever. But Psalms is actually designed to go and be read from the start through to the finish. And it actually has a theological framework for it. I'm not going to delve into it because it's quite complex because there's different sections. You can break it up into five different sections and you've got the beginning and the end. So you've got the opening and the conclusion of five different sections. And what we're reading today from Psalm 34 is in that first section of Psalms. But overall, it is really, it's a book of poems and songs that are expressing a whole set of emotions and experiences that the Hebrew people had with their relationship with God and their experience of God in their world as they went through life, in the ups and downs of it. There's a psalm for every season of life. But if you want to actually put one single thing that that actually is an overarching theme for the whole book of Psalms, it would be this. The people of God are praising God and they are saying, may the Lord God of Israel be blessed forever. That's ultimately what the book of Psalms is saying, is a praise of God, and may God be praised forever, no matter what happens. Psalm 34 kind of stands out because it's written by David during a time, during a difficult period of his life. And Psalm 34 is ultimately about God's redemption for us and those who take refuge in God. The same psalm starts, and as James highlighted for us, has a little preamble. And you'll actually find, if you read Psalms, you'll actually find that it'll have various little bits written as instructions beforehand, like Psalm 35 is a psalm of David. But it actually says this in Psalm 34, and I'll put it on the screen for you, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. Now, it gives the framework, it gives the understanding of what this psalm is about and why that was written. And we've just got to keep it in our framework of understanding Psalms, is that David is writing this psalm and he's remembering back to the time. So he's king at this moment, he's king of Israel, and he's writing back and reflecting on a particularly difficult period of his life where he's being chased by Saul, and it's hard for him. It provides this historical concept. So if you want to actually read the story, it's from 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 to 15. And we actually see that King David, is fleeing King Saul, the rightful king of the time, but he's seeking refuge with Achish, the king of Gath. Now, that's not Abimelech, is it? Abimelech is likely a title, like similar to king or pharaoh, rather than a personal name. So you can kind of go, it's back in the time of the king, the leader of Gath. And we find David pretending to be insane or pretending to be mad. And this was actually a strategic move on his part to escape the potential dangers, and highlights his actual resourcefulness and his reliance on God for his deliverance. And this just underscores the central theme of God's protection and deliverance found in Psalm 34. David's facing deep danger in his life. If he gets found out and seems to be this person that can lead an army, lead Israel back into right standing, he's likely to be killed. So he chose the option to be insane and act like he was mad. And in all of that, even doing that, he's trusting that God will deliver him. He's trusting the promise that God has given him. Listen to what he says when he reflects back into this from Psalm 34, verses 1 to 7. I'm going to just read those little first sections for us. And it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. Now, keep in mind, here he is remembering back to the time when he was fleeing from King Saul and when he was having to act insane for the sake of his own life. He's in hiding of his own true self. And here he's going, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly seek his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name. This is not something that you can do in the midst of this. So often when we hear somebody say, oh, just praise God, when life's going hard. And I remember Paul just telling us the other week about, just going, oh, it's going to be okay when you're going through the tough times and difficult times. It doesn't actually helpful. But when we do reflect back to the times, we often see that God is there and present with us. And David's reminding himself and reminding the people of Israel during their tough times, during the hard points of their life, remembering back when they are in, that outside forces are there, to remember that you need to praise God at all times, that you need to be constantly seeking his praise, to boast in God and take heart, because God is always going to be present and always going to be there for you, even in the tough times, not just in the good times, but even in the hard times for us. And he goes on and he says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from my fears, and those who look to him to help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. And in my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from my trouble. So what's he doing? He's ascribing not to himself his saving grace, but to God. He prayed in his dark times. He prayed in the hard times. He prayed at that time. And what's he do? God listens. And he remembers that God listened and saved him. For the angel of the Lord is a guard who surrounds and defends all who fear him. This is a psalm when, you know, remembering back, but it's a psalm when we are in the midst of troubles and difficulty. How many of us have faced troubles in our life? There's a few tentative hands. There are a few people that are going up. And how many people know that life is not a bed of roses? You know, definitely, you know, you've just got to live for a little while and you actually find out that, you know, everything is not smooth sailing. So we've faced some hard times. How many of us are struggling with something right now in our lives? There's quite a few of us here, isn't there? You know, we're struggling with stuff in our lives. You know, we might not be in a good place right now. And this is a psalm to help us remind ourselves that even in those hard times, and even those tough times, we can come and seek God. So what David, who wrote the Psalms, is doing is reflecting on the very difficult and life-threatening time in his life and how he realized that God protected him in all of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to the very last section of Psalms. I'm going to go, here's the opening part and here's the closing part, and then we'll just focus on the middle part just at the last. And it says this, because this is his frame, this is his reference, this is what he remembers and wants to leave with you at the very end. That the righteous person will face many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Let that sink in. We are going to face many troubles in our lives. We're going to face hardships and difficulties. But God is going to come to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, and not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Because God is our refuge, God is our strength, and we know that we are redeemed. We are made right through Jesus Christ. It is through Christ alone that we have eternal life. Now, I love it when preachers go to wrap up, and I'm going to wrap up, but I've got a whole section to go to wrap up. I want to bring us back to the middle of the psalm that we've looked at. To the beginning and the end, we have how we focus and look at what David has been doing, how he's remembering to praise God at all times, how he's remembering and reflecting and encouraging us that God is the saving, redeeming person, the saving grace. And we know that we find that through Christ and Christ alone. And in the middle, he encourages us to do something. And Glenda gave a wonderful example in the kids' message this morning, and I'm going to put it up on the screen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want us to really kind of reflect on this because it's an incredible piece of advice. It's helpful both for those who are yet to be convinced about Jesus Christ and the saving grace of God, and is also there who for those that are wanting to go deeper into their own Christian faith. It's taste and see that the Lord is good. This particular verse, right in the middle of this psalm, calls us to have this experiential faith rather than simply accepting beliefs or ideas on face values. It's actually saying experience faith. taste God. Actually delve in and do more of this. For those who are exploring Christianity, faith in Jesus Christ, the invitation for you is to taste and see. You know, how do you know about God's great love unless you let it come upon you? How do you know about God's graciousness unless you want it for your life? The invitation to taste and see is one we need to take seriously. This invitation implies that faith is not about this mental agreement or blind belief, but it's about engaging directly with God and truly experiencing his goodness for yourself. It's an invitation to actively explore one's spirituality. Faith is not passive. Faith in Jesus is not something that you can just do from a distance. You need to taste it yourself. Now, I have an apple here, and it reminds me, as I was reading through some illustrations about Psalm 34, there was this illustration about a theological college that put on some lectures, and they invited a well-renowned academic atheist to come and debate about the existence and nature of God. And they spent ages talking about different philosophers and different schools of thought and the reality that God doesn't exist. And in the back row was an old preacher, and he stood up and he took a bite of an apple and started chewing it and says, "Professor, I'm not as smart as you." And the professor went, "Oh, isn't that lovely?" And then he goes, "But I don't know how you can talk about God when you've never actually experienced him. Take this apple. How do you know whether it is sweet or sour unless you taste it?" The same with God. How do you know whether God has got something amazing for your life unless you taste it? Unless you experience God yourself? And for those that are on the Christian journey and longing to go deeper, this verse serves as a reminder of the importance of continually seeking God's presence. It highlights that faith is dynamic and that we should actively engage in it through prayer, through worship, and through service. This is how we truly appreciate the richness of God's goodness. And I want to finish with this little bit. Regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, I want to encourage you to engage with God. Engage with God personally. Taste of God's goodness, and in doing so, you will discover the depths of the infinite love and the goodness of God. So let's just pray together. Let's just pray. A gracious, loving God, we know that we are all going through different things in our lives. Some of us are going through tough and hard times. Some of us are doing really well. In all of these times, Lord, we want to praise you. In all of these times, we want to seek your goodness for our lives. Oh, Lord God, we just seek you now. But we do more than seek. We want to come and taste of you. We want to know your goodness for our lives. Gracious, loving God, you encourage us to taste and see. So if at this moment, if there's anybody that's thinking about whether they are close to Jesus, whether they want to know more in their life, I just encourage you, as we close out our service today, as we sing our last song and then come into a time of prayer, Lord, we just come and taste and see, come and seek prayer for your life. for God's leading in your life, for God's providence in difficult times, for God's leading when we are searching. Lord, come and taste and see that you are good. Oh Lord, you are good. And you are with us always. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.